Greetings and welcome to TanakhStudy.com, the podcast program where we study Parashat HaShavua over the course of six podcasts broadcast during the week during which that parasha is read. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. It's my honor to be studying the second half of Sefer Shemot with you, and we are now in the middle of Parashat Tetzaveh, looking at the first half of the inauguration of the Kohanim, Kiddush HaKohanim, which is presented in Perek Chaf Tet. It's presented in the first 37 psukim. And we're going to do it over the course of two podcasts. And at the end of the second of those podcasts, we'll look at the structure of the whole unit. Important to note that this is the command given to Moshe to sanctify Aharon and his sons. This command is also described in its fulfillment in Perek Chet of Sefer Vayikra. But here is the command. And in that sense, it sort of follows the pattern that we have of the description of the building and the appurtenances of the Mishkan in Parashat Truma and the Bigdei Kuhuna in the first half of this parasha, which then are described in their fulfillment in parts of Parshat Vayakel and Pikudei. Perek Chaf Tet Pasuk Aleph. In this podcast, we will look through we'll look through Pasuk Yod Chet, which will cover part of the inauguration. And that way we'll divide this section fairly evenly. Keep in mind that this sanctification really could have been mentioned before Perek Chaf Chet, because in Perek Chaf Chet we hear the description of the special begadim for Aharon and then the begadim for his sons at the very end of that chapter. And those are all, it's all within the context of Kiddush HaKohanim. And the sense is you're going to first put the garments on them and then be mekadesh them. But the Torah instead reverses that order and first tells us about all of the begadim, all of the garments, and then the procedure by which they become sanctified and inaugurated, as if to say we have to have all the pieces in place. That's also not exactly true, because a central component to all of the procedures here is the Shemen HaMishcha, the oil of inauguration or the oil of anointment, which will only be described later on, a little bit later in Sefer Shemot. And so the Kiddush HaKohanim is presented first with the special begadim that they're going to have, then the procedure, and then several things are still left unexplained, such as the Shemen HaMishcha, and such as particular procedures for korbanot that we're really only going to get in the beginning of Vayikra. And let us study together. So this is the matter. This is the procedure that you're going to do for them to sanctify them to l'chahinli, as we heard at the beginning and end of the previous parak. L'kach par echad ben bakar ve'ilim shnayim tamimim. So you are to take, and you, sounds like a directive to Moshe, you are to take one bull, parachad ben bakar, elim shnayim, two rams, that are tmimim, and all of them have to be without blemish. The rules of blemishes we'll also get later, and that's going to be in the middle of Vayikra. V'lechem matzot v'chalot matzot belulot bashemen, or kikei matzot meshuchim bashamen. We're not told amounts here, but we're told to take bread which is matzot, meaning has not risen, chalot matzot, which means there's two different kinds of breads here, and they're both, and this one is belulot bashemen, going to be mixed with oil, urkikem it's matzot meshuchim bashemen, and matzot crackers, which are anointed with oil. So the question is, do you mix oil in and bake it, or do you bake it and then rub oil on top of it? Different kinds. Solet chitim ta'aseh otam. And what are you going to use? You're going to use fine flour, solet, of wheat. Not of barley, but of wheat. That's how you're going to make them. So far we've got three animals and three different types of grains that are prepared. V'natata otam al sal echad. You're going to put them in one basket. V'ikravta otam basal. V'atapar v'chnei aylin. So you're going to put them, of course, is the breads, not the animals, in a single basket, and you're going to bring them close to where? The assumption is close to the Mizbeach, while they're in the basket, and you also have the par and the two elim. Now, we now introduce Aharon and his family. Aharon vet banav takriv el petach el moed. And notice the same verb is used for bringing the grains close and bringing Aharon and his sons close, el petach el moed, to the front of the oel moed, which means we're outside in the courtyard, coming in front of the doorway where the masach is. Rachatztau tam b'mayim. You're going to wash them with water, and we have not yet heard of the vehicle for washing either. So there are many details in here that yet demand explanation, which we'll get over the course of the next few parakim and into Vayikra. V'lakachta et ha-begadim, v'ilbashta et ha-haron et ha-kutonet, v'eit mi'il ha-ifod, v'et ha-ifod v'et ha-choshen, v'afata lo b'cheshev ha-ifod. So that you're going to take the begadim, and now remember, we're kind of going back and forth between Aharon uvanav as a unit and Aharon separately. So we brought everybody close with this offering, haven't done anything yet with the offering, but you're then going to take the begadim. And the begadim, of course, have been fully explicated in the previous chapter as to how they are to be made. You are then going to put on them on Aharon. What are you going to put? The kutonet, which is the tunic, and that, of course, everybody has, all the kohanim. Mi'il ha'ifod, the mi'il of the ephod, and now we find out, remember in the previous podcast we asked, is mi'il ha'ifod meaning the mi'il that the ephod goes on, or the mi'il that goes on the ephod? The answer is the first, the mi'il ha'ifod, and then the ephod, and then the choshen, and they're attached. V'afad talo b'cheshev ha'ifod. Afad talo seems to mean you're going to belt him together, or gird him together, with the cheshev ha'ifod, which is on top, which hooks on. V'samtam itznefet al rosho. This is Aharon still. You're going to put the mitznefet on him. So at this point, he is wearing six of the garments. The kutonet, the mi'il, the choshen, the ephod, the mitznefet. Five garments. V'natata nezer ha-kodesh al ha-mitznefet. And then you're going to put the tzitz. Nezer ha-kodesh. Nezer is a crown. The crown ha-kodesh al ha-mitznefet. And again, as we said, It seems to go ala mitznefet, meaning it's actually under the mitznefet, right? And so far, the only thing missing here from the garments is the michasayim, which we mentioned in the previous podcast, are in a separate category of a purpose of the chasot b'saravah, so they're not mentioned here. However, the fatalo b'chesh v'ayfod seems to be a reference to the sash. So everything here is on Aharon. V'lakachta et shemen hamishcha v'yatzakta al rosho u'mashachta oto. You're going to take shemen hamishcha. Shemen hamishcha means the oil of anointment, which again we haven't heard about. And you're going to pour it on his head, mashachta oto, and then you anoint him. And Rashi quotes the Gemara that says mashachta oto means you're going to do it in sort of a perpendicular way, like the Greek letter gamma. Look at L. V'etbanav takriv. So Aharon now has been taken care of. V'etbanav takriv. Bring his sons close. V'yobashtam kutanot. Put on the kutanot on them. Chakota utam avnet. Now here you get the explicit mention of the sash. Aharon uvanav. And so this could be referring to Aharon also, who did not yet have the avnet, or just now mentioning that they all have the avnet on the sash. V'chavashta lahem migbaot. They're all going to have the hats. I tell them kuna l'chukat olam. This will now be permanent kuna for them. And then you inaugurate them, and this seems to be the next step. You're going to do this inauguration. How does that inauguration take place? We now are about the korbanot. So step one in this entire procedure is you bring them close. Step two, wash their hands. Step three, you put the garments on them. The garments that go on Aharon. And then the fewer garments go on his sons. Four garments go on his sons. Again, the michasayim aren't mentioned anywhere here because they are sort of an obvious thing and they serve a different purpose, a more base purpose. And now that all of that is ready, we're ready for the male yadam, as we've been told, how that plays out. So remember, we have one bull and two rams. Raftata part of the Ohel Moed. You're going to bring it before Ohel Moed, which would mean in front of the door of Ohel Moed. Samach Aaron v'Nav tidehem al Rosh Hapar. Something interesting about the grammar here. Samach Aaron v'Nav. So there are three different ways to read this. Samach, of course, is singular. Aaron v'Nav, plural. One is Samach Aaron v'Nav, which means they're all going to put their hands together and do one smicha as if they are one person. So it's in the singular, even though it's the five of them together. Possibility two. Each one of them is going to do it separately. Aaron uvanav, each is going to do a smicha. And the third possibility is that only Aaron is going to do it, and his sons will be sort of included in the act of smicha. Et yidehem al rosh hapar. But yidehem seems to indicate that their hands are going to be on it, which seems to favor one of the first two approaches. V'shachatata et hapar lifnei Adonai. And immediately you're going to do shechita, which means that this par now is a sort of normal korban in the sense that it's brought by the individual, it's tamim, it's brought before the Ohel Moed, it is slaughtered after doing smicha on it like any other korban yachid, and then petach Ohel Moed, it's slaughtered in front of the Ohel Moed. Lakachtam midam hapar, v'natata akronot hamizbeach petz paecha. So you're going to take the dam hapar, the blood of the par, and you're going to put it on the capstones of the mizbeach, which were described in Parshat Truma, with your finger. And then you're going to spill out all the rest of the blood to the Yesod HaMizbeach, which we didn't hear about explicitly in the description of the Mizbeach. We'll find out that there are essentially two different holes in the side of the Mizbeach, at the south and west corners, in order for the Dam to go out through there. But the Yesod HaMizbeach is sort of the lowest level and the broadest step of the Mizbeach. Notice, though, an interesting thing is that it is Moshe, not Aharon, who's doing the Avodah here. And that will become characteristic of the whole description of the pre-construction, pre-final dedication of the Mishkan, Avodah. V'lakachta et kol ha-chelev ha-machaset ha-kerev. And now we're going to get into, excuse the pun, the guts of Avodat ha-korbanot. We're going to take all of the fat that covers up the insides, v'teyoteret al ha-kaved, the yoteret that sits over the liver, v'chta ha-klayot, the two kidneys, v'tachelo ha-sharli, and the fat that's on the kidneys, v'iktakta ha-mizbeacha. These are now what we call emurim, the things that go on the mizbeach to be burned up. V'pesar ha-par v'toro v'pirsho tisrof ba'esh michutz ta-machane. And here's an interesting instruction. You take the meat of the par, the skin, and the peresh, which is the dung, you're going to burn it outside of the camp, chatatu. And we're told that this is a korban chatat. If it was a korban olah, the whole thing would be burned up in pieces on the mizbeach. A normal korban chatat, the meat would be eaten by the kohanim. This is a special chatat, which is called par hanisraf, a part that's totally burned up, but the part that would normally be eaten, plus the skin and the dung, are burned outside of the city as the din of parim hanisrafim, in this case, outside of the camp. Now that's the part. And it is classified here as a chatat. Mata'ayil ha'echad et tikach, which then means that we have to look back and say, which mizbeach is he putting the dam on? We have heard no description of going into the Kodesh. And of course, we haven't yet heard about the inner mizbeach. And yet, the din of parim hanisrafim is that it is always dam that is brought onto the inner mizbeach and put in there that leads to a par hanisraf, as we will hear in Sefer Vayikra, v'chol korban asher yuvav l'kodesh pnima, any korban that's brought inside, meaning the dam is brought inside, then you have to burn the meat outside of the camp. To the ayil. V'hata ayil ha'echad tikach. There's two eilim, two rams. You take one ram. V'sam mechu aron v'nav etidem arosh ayil. Same thing. They're all going to do smicha, either together, one after another. V'shachetta et ha'ayil. You, again, Aharon, Moshe, are going to do shechita on the ayil. V'lakachta et damo, v'zarkta l'mizbeach saviv. You're going to take its blood, and now beforehand we were told to put the dam on the kranot, which is a classic move for the chatat. Here you're going to take the dam ha'ayil, the one ayil, and put it on l'mizbeach saviv, which a literal read would mean walk around and daub the whole mizbeach. Halachically, what it means is you put it on the two corners of the mizbeach on both sides, so that all four walls have the dam. Then you cut it up into its pieces. You then wash the inside and its legs, and you put them on all the pieces and the head, which means it's all together. And then you're going to burn the entire ayal on the mizbeach. This is an olah to Hashem. It is a sweet smell, a burnt offering to Hashem. In other words, the description of an olah. So we now have a par and an ayal. The par is a chatat, the ayal is an olah, and that should sound familiar to us. Par lechatat, ayal leolah, is what is taken on Yom HaKippurim, and along with the sa'ir lechatat, and there are many evocations of the Avodat Yom HaKippurim that we hear during this inauguration ceremony. We're going to stop at this point and pick it up with the description of the second ayal and what's done with the mincha offerings in the next podcast. And then when we're done, we'll take a look at the structure of this entire piece, which is the inaugural procedure or ceremony for Aharon and his sons to make them Kohanim, one that we will hear described in detail as it is fulfilled in Sefer Vayikra. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.